This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to the OC, bitches. We are in season 2, episode 2.
Yes.
I am Melinda Clark. I'm here with...
You are Melinda Clark.
Otherwise known as Mindy.
I am Rachel Bilson. Hello.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome, bitches. We're here. We are here. Season 2, episode 2, The Way We Were. Ugh. And you know what? Season 2 introduced a bunch of new characters, and so we thought it would be absolutely the perfect time to have our beloved casting director, Patrick Rush, back. You need no introduction.
Okay. If,
yes.
Then don't give me one.
Don't you have one written?
I don't.
How are you, Patrick?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to see you guys.
I'm so glad
I got a callback. I'm a recurring character.
Yeah, you are.
Oh,
you,
my God. I'm so excited.
You are. And not only that, we actually saw you last week.
Okay.
We are so lucky.
This is the wonderful part about this job, that we get to sit down with our friends and let's have some fun. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Let's talk about this episode.
There's lots to talk about. I mean, generally speaking, like you said, season 2, we introduce a lot of new characters.
Right.
A lot of pretty good casting calls on your part there, Patrick.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, in particular, this episode, we meet Michael Cassidy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Cassidy, who plays Zach.
Correct.
Summer's little fling.
Yes.
Joins us this episode. Do you remember casting him?
I do. I do. Good. I also remember having to find somebody that was the exact opposite of Ryan. And the exact opposite of Seth. Because we had those, you know, those two boys are the male leads.
Right.
And so if we're going to bring in a new love interest, it has to be the anti-Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be someone less neurotic.
Right.
Probably easier
than the character. And, you know, the all-American boy next door jock.
Right.
And Michael Cassidy showed up and I was like, wow, that's kind of... Right off that cookie cutter. Right.
Do you remember, was he kind of early on that he came in? Had you been seeing other people you liked, or do you remember anything?
I just remember thinking he's good.
Yeah.
And I think he fits in our world.
Yeah.
And I remember it not being a fight to get him cast.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a slam dunk.
Everyone was like, okay.
Yes. He was
we
a,
get it.
Yes. Not all the roles this season were that, but he was that. And then I think I remember McGee at that time was signed to direct one of the Supermans.
Oh, yeah. And wasn't Michael kind of in the mix for that?
Yeah. McGee was like, I think you found Superman.
Really?
Oh, that's where it came from. So it came from him seeing him on
the OC. He was also in Smallville.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Michael.
Or did McGee tell us about him? I don't...
Well, we can check that.
Oh, yeah.
Check that.
I can check that.
After that episode last year where I made some mistakes, I'm going to be very cautious.
What mistakes did you make last year?
Jeff, I was wrong about the Jeffrey Dean Morgan character.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, please.
Like, nobody remembered that. It was one scene.
I know, but I mean, a lot of people who commented remembered.
Oh, okay.
I got corrected.
You know what? That's
what
not
was
true.
It? Was
not...
Jeffrey Dean Morgan on the show?
He was. He was on the show, but the role he played, I had wrong.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I don't know what role he played.
Potato.
I think
potato.
He was incarcerated.
Well, it comes up with the storyline with Rebecca, played by Dana Delaney. No, sorry. Kim Delaney.
Kim Delaney.
Guys. And it's just, it's a scene with Sandy in jail talking to him. But it's just a one scene. So that's not, right. Our fans remember. We just didn't remember.
We didn't. I didn't.
But you knew he was on the show. And I think that's the most important thing.
But I have a question
for you.
Rachel. Just something that popped up. If Michael Cassidy, for instance, I know he'd been on Smallville or had a guest spot on that. And I think Adam had as well. Smallville was CW, right?
Correct.
Which is Warner Brothers.
Which is, it was the old WB back then.
Okay.
Before, right, with the frog?
Correct.
But because you were one of the big casting directors for Warner Brothers for many years.
Correct.
Right?
I was really lucky with Warner Brothers.
So when actors have been on other shows, the network can be, or Warner Brothers can be aware of them, correct?
Correct.
And that's how, you know, they can be introduced, right, or they can say, okay, we've seen him on this and we're going to approve him for this show.
Right.
Does it happen that way?
There have also been times when someone has been on another show and you send them in to get them approved and Warner Brothers or a studio or a network says, oh, we didn't like them on that show. So no, they're not approved. Huh.
Oh,
so
wow.
There are those times.
Yeah, oh, it wow. could be behavior or it could be.
Or yeah, how often is it behavior versus performance?
They want me in trouble in the first 3 days.
We're not naming names.
I would say nowadays you can't even say it's behavior. But back in the day, it could be behavior. But more times it was about we just didn't like them on the show.
Okay, that's fair.
Interesting. Because I remember when we were doing the show, I was offered... I know that Peter Liguori, our president after Gail Berman, he specifically, and I could be wrong, but I think I remember this correctly, he specifically didn't like character or actors guesting on other Fox shows.
Correct.
He didn't like that crossover. He wanted to keep it like that. And I remember getting offered House at one point or some other shows, and it wasn't always supported by...
Well, interesting.
By the, yeah.
I think the opposite.
Some networks don't care,
right,
but some networks do care.
Right.
But also we have Nicholas Gonzalez.
Yeah, who we meet the first episode of this season.
Yes.
Right. The Yard Guy.
And then he becomes DJ, the hot guy.
Oh, right. Sorry,
in this,
DJ.
Well, this, in this episode, guy. Right?
Yes.
He's...
Some of my favorite summer quotes are in this episode.
Oh, I have them written
good.
Down.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
Yes. Because that was on my list of things. What was your favorite quote from the episode?
But talk about an opposite. It was an interesting casting because it's such an opposite of Ryan. But he's also not necessarily, you know, if Zach is the WASP version,
right,
of Seth, then DJ is if he's the yard guy, he's the... he's another kid maybe from the wrong side of the tracks or something, but in a different, but he's almost like seems to have more of a heart, or he seems to be a little more emotionally there other than Ryan.
Was that part of the casting process? Or?
I think so, but did you?
Where did he come from? How did you find him?
I don't
did he come in with his shirt
one.
Off?
He did not come in with his shirt off.
It's pretty impressive.
There were...
You're turning red.
There were big pictures available to see what he looked like with a shirt off.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder if that's a prerequisite. Like, you have to have pictures with your shirt off.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
they're not going to cast me as DJ. So then you aim sort of in, like, V-shaped as opposed to A-shaped.
Oh.
But yeah, Nick, I mean, and Nick has been around for a long time and just a great sort of guy, go-to guy.
Since we have you here, just a few other casting Kim Delaney. How
correct.
Was that? How was that process? Do you remember that?
Well, you know, it's when you get to roles like that and they, and it's not younger, it's not the younger crowd kids, they want to see a list of offer-only names. Like, who's an offer-only name? Who could come on the show that might help us with the ratings? It's called stunt casting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
No, right.
I don't think it does. I mean, I learned my lesson last time. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say what I was just going to say.
No, say it.
I know what he was talking about.
No. It's here's the thing. You do that
so
list,
lost.
And you start at Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
And you hire Jerry Ryan, who's
right.
lovely.
Right.
And has a lot of fans.
Right.
But you go through that sort
you go
of
through
process.
That whole process.
Correct.
The network says, shoot for the stars.
And the crazy thing is, you have 8 days. Because, you know, the script comes out.
Yeah.
You start prepping. And all of a sudden, you're like, who's realistic? Who wants to do it? Find out who's a fan of the show. Somebody has kids who love the show and they want to be on it.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
Before we get into the episode, there's a few more casting things because, you know, we have you here.
Okay.
Second season.
See what I remember.
We just talked about Kim Delaney,
right.
Nicholas Gonzalez, because you saw a picture with his shirt off. Got that.
No, I didn't cast him. Rachel.
<I'm just kidding.
laughs> Listen.
Stirring the pot over here. Also, so this is kind of funny.
Yes.
Billy Campbell. Who does he play on in this?
Carter.
Okay, Carter.
Though he's not in the
He's coming up and we can get, well, we'll get to him when we get to him. But Billy Campbell played the Rocketeer.
Correct.
That my dad wrote that movie.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
Did you not know that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
There's so much I don't know about the both of you.
Well,
and that's
we
going to be
a
very
of,
special
a lot of time, Patrick,
episode of a podcast that we don't do.
You're going to interview us?
Yeah, but
I did not know your dad wrote The Rocketeer.
Yeah, my dad. And yeah, my dad and his partner, Paul, wrote The Rocketeer. That was, you know.
He also just did.
Cool thing when I was a
didn't
kid.
Didn't he just write Defy Blood?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Defy Bloods.
Yeah.
Spike Lee's movie last year.
My your dad. Dad.
Yeah.
Yes. Danny.
I did not know you were
Danny
an industry
Bilson.
Kid.
Oh, I go back to my great grandparents in the industry.
Was it who was this?
My great grandfather was the head of the trailer department at RKO Pictures, and my great grandmother was a screenwriter, also a caterer who built like part of the temple on La Cienega and no, not La Cienega. Whatever, that's a boring story. But anyways, they go way back here in Hollywood.
Fourth generation here.
Fourth generation. My grandpa, big TV director, my aunt, producer. Anyway, there's a lot of that. But yes, so he wrote The Rocketeer. So seeing Billy Campbell's name here, I was like, hey, I know who that is.
Yeah. Right. Did you know who it was when he was on the show?
I'm assuming I didn't work with him or something.
No, it was with Kirsten. He's a coworker of Kirsten.
Okay, right. And I probably never saw him on the show because I would have put that together.
Which means you didn't watch the show when it was on.
That's very clear from this podcast, Patrick, that I didn't watch the show.
Not in this episode, but next episode.
We meet,
Shannon Lucio and Olivia Wilde, two beautiful actresses.
Yes.
And I I didn't realize that Shannon was on The Right Stuff that I just finished binging.
Oh, really?
She played Alan Shepard's wife, and she was my favorite. And I was like, how do I know this person? So grown up and such a lovely actress.
Good for her. Yes.
Yeah. She's a really good actress.
Yes. Very good.
As we're watching this, I'm like, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very good.
Not a slam dunk.
Really?
No.
You had to fight for her or?
I remember there was some pushback from the network, casting side of the network.
Do you remember what it was or is that controversial?
It wasn't really controversial. Just, you know, when they push back, it's always very, which is why when I had one of those jobs, I failed at it so quickly because you have to just sort of think about what you're saying, which, as you know, I don't. But it was just like, we don't see it.
Right.
There was a lot of we don't see it.
Because I would imagine when you're casting for your core four, we need new love interests for everybody that... and I think I've read, the research that I've read was that they want someone that maybe it's sex appeal or sexy or something.
And
for
different
front.
From.
Mm-hmm.
Different from.
Right.
I think it worked. For some reason, I really loved seeing them together.
There was an episode that will probably be coming up because she gets introduced in the next episode where like Ryan goes to her house, and I remember it was—I think it was Christmas time—and it was a great like craftsman house somewhere.
Yeah,
they played
Pasadena.
A Coldplay song at the end of it. I was like, it was really beautiful, and I liked them together. But what I've learned over the years is when you're casting these characters, you have to cast people that the audience is going to still want the original people together.
Right, like it can't
it's
be
like
too
on Sex
good.
In the City, like Burger. That for six
like,
episodes.
Oh, don't even.
I know.
Go there.
So, I know. Or even Aiden. You still wanted Carrie to be with Big, even though Aiden was a completely decent guy.
Oh,
right. Loved her.
It's funny you bring that up. I wasn't going to talk about this till next episode, but and I won't. Never mind. Stay tuned. But Patrick brought it up, and I will continue with that later. Yes,
so,
but you're right.
I thought. I thought Shannon. And Ben had nice chemistry together.
They did. I agree. I think that they really do.
Yeah, it brings out a completely different side of him. And we'll talk about it in the next episode. But
any other standouts? Obviously, Logan Marshall Green. Hello.
Yes. Love him.
Yeah. And we're not going to forget Olivia Wilde.
No.
We mentioned her.
Okay.
Olivia, are you kidding? Who's that? I mean, come on. Yes. Olivia, please, everybody is in love with Olivia.
Yeah. I know. She'd had like maybe two credits at the point of this, of doing the OC. And she just comes off like a veteran.
She's a G. She
is. She tested for
Marissa.
Marissa. And then did she do House before she did the OC?
Oh, no.
No.
After.
Okay. Because she did Skin.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Fox signed a holding deal with her after Skin.
Right.
Right.
And
she also was offered, I think they wanted her to, she was offered a series regular on this show, I believe, and she turned it down.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
It worked out well for her.
I think Olivia's okay.
Yeah, I think so too.
She's awesome.
Okay. Right. And then who else was there? Wait, there was somebody. You just said one more name, right?
Logan Marshall Green is what I
Logan
said.
Logan Marshall Green. Right.
Hello.
Who I...
You saw his shirt off?
Oh, no. Bilson. Clark. Help me. Bilson's trying to get me to misbehave.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Logan Marshall
Green.
You know, we had to recast Trey. Like, Trey...
Right, Trey was in the first... He was in the pilot.
Right.
Was he in more than the pilot, the first actor?
I think he was in one or two.
Was there... Well, he came for the Thanksgiving episode. Ryan goes to... He was in the pilot and the Thanksgiving episode. What happened to that actor?
Because it wasn't written as a big role, I had to reach out and let them know that we were going to be trying to cast the role.
Did that actor come in and...
He did. He came in and fought for it and he did a great job.
Yeah.
But Logan Marshall Green sort of had a little bit of heat coming out from it, like...
Well, he's
a little bit of heat coming out from under. What does that mean? Oh my God!
He farted his way on into that.
We're renaming this. I blame Bilson. I had known him from just auditioning for stuff over the years,
right?
And I thought he would be perfect, and I didn't think we'd get him,
right?
And so I was really glad when he did because he's awesome.
He is.
Yes,
a fantastic actor.
He's got that certain something.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Intensity.
Easy on the eyes, too.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
I'm sorry, what?
Easy on the eyes?
Easy on the eyes. Oh. I found it very, very
so cute.
Because I remember you sending me shirtless pictures of him, Rachel.
Yes, I did, from my private phone.
No,
just kidding. No, I never knew Logan. No.
No, either did I.
And I wish I did.
And a really, really nice guy. That's awesome.
It's funny, because when he's auditioned, he's got that intensity that I don't engage when he used to come in to audition for things that I wouldn't, he felt prepared. So I didn't like bullshit with him.
Right.
He just seemed like he was ready to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you audition, by the way. You prepare.
Correct.
Unless you're me and you just wing it. No, I'm just kidding. Always prepared. Okay, let's get into the episode.
I'll read the synopsis here.
Read the synopsis.
Ryan and Seth long to go back to the way they were. A shout out to one of the best movies with Barbara Streisand and Robert Redford. For you young people, go watch that movie. But Marissa lies to Ryan about seeing DJ, the yard guy, and Summer refuses to get back together with Seth. All roads lead to the kickoff carnival, but the end results are not what either boy wanted. Meanwhile, Haley has a job offer. She can't refuse and ends things with Jimmy. Caleb knows he's in trouble and is not surprised when the cops show up to arrest him. Directed by Michael Lang, written by Alan Heinberg, our resident comic book expert. Original air date, November 11, 2004.
So.
Heinberg.
Yes.
He's okay, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he wrote Wonder
Woman.
He's going to be a guest.
I love that.
We're going to talk to him.
And don't forget, he wrote the comic book episode of Sex and the City, too.
What?
Heinberg wrote the episode where Sarah Jessica Parker started dating the guy at the comic book store.
Oh, wait, nice. Which one's the comic book store guy?
She meets him in the comic book store, and then she goes back to his apartment, which is like this beautiful terraced New York City apartment.
Oh, and he lives with his mom?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Mrs. Adams.
That's Heini Heidberg.
Do you know how many times my friends and I, that is our go-to, like anytime we want
Can
something?
Can someone check that I'm not making that shit up right now? But
I think you're right.
I think Heidberg wrote that episode. Yes. Yes,
we can ask him
they
all
get
about
stoned.
That.
Okay. Oh, that's my intern. She loves the mom. Oh, God. Oh, we could go. Why is this not a Sex and the City rewatch?
I know we're mentioning it too much. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
No, we're not. It's wonderful.
I don't know. Yeah, Sex and the City and Friends with Rachel Bilson.
I mean, I could really. Yeah. I could kill those podcasts. Those, I remember everything. The show I was on, I got nothing. Okay.
I don't doubt it. But serious. Wait, we open in a scene and what? You actually have a memory.
Oh, I do. Okay. So that's true. The opening scene, we're in the pool house. There's a song that opens the scene and it's Trouble Sleeping by the Perishers. Okay. So the song came on and I instantly remembered. At the time when we were filming the show, I lived with my best friend Leah and we had our condo. That was my great grandmother's condo, by the way, who was in the business behind the Hollywood Bowl. And everyone would hang out. We were all hanging out at the time. And Josh Schwartz came over one night and we had an old little boombox plug-in CD player. And he had a mix CD he had made. And he played us sitting on the floor in the living room, popped it in the CD player, and he played us this mix for the show. And the one song I remember him showing me that night was Trouble Sleeping by the Perishers. And it's the only song I remember. But ironically...
Was he going to use it in the episode? Was he... Or just sharing his taste in music?
It was his way of telling everyone there that he was thinking of us all. No, he was going to use it in the show. And he was sharing the music with us all. And it stuck out because I thought it was such a beautiful song. And I love it. And to this day, and I remember that and the song, which is insane. But that was my story. So it opens with that.
And it opens with some of the best classic Seth Ryan banter of, you know, we could not go, can't not go. We could so not go. And, but
to
I didn't
school.
Get this line when he talks about the Ashton Kutcher line where they say, but he says a bunch of Ashton Kutchers knuckle walking, talking about their summer, not my summer. Is he saying that Ashton was similar to
the water polo?
Yeah. Like jockey.
Is he jockey?
Lean swimmer
like,
build.
Because I don't think of Ashton like that, but I guess so.
I mean, he's think like, of Ashton much at all. I just don't know him. But
maybe they couldn't find their car. Yes.
I want to give Ben McKenzie props for playing this straight guy, mm-hmm. straight role mm-hmm. with Adam and keeping up with him in those little bantery segments.
Ben doesn't
try to be funny and he's sort of funny because he doesn't try.
He has good timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm going to brood silently over here.
Yeah.
You know,
he throws away lines. Yeah. He doesn't hit him too hard and he's really
good.
It's
played perfectly.
It's not a simple scene. There's a lot of levels. There's a lot of different things going on, and Seth is this whirlwind of this consciousness of himself coming out talking about, you know, we don't have to go, and what, you're going to just talk to Marissa and you're going to hope she say hey and hope she says hey back and you're going to say, you know, you want me to say sorry to Summer, and what are you going to say sorry, and Ryan's like we're not going to school because he's making sense, because it's so interesting they the two of them left. And they're just going to show up and spring it on mm-hmm. these girls and without any knowledge of the consequences of their actions yet. So maybe they're at this point, they should be a little nervous.
They should. As someone who was, you know, a victim of their decisions.
Yeah.
They should be very nervous.
Personally.
Men are stupid.
Yes. Thank
Men
you.
Are not smart. They don't think things through.
Thank you for saying it, Patrick, so I didn't have to.
You're welcome. How much ad-libbing did Brody do?
He would ad-lib.
Okay, because that's what I always wondered, those bantery scenes. And I'm thinking, is Ben actually keeping up with his... Because
he could.
Yeah.
I would give it to Ben that he could. But a lot of Adam's ad-libs were always like at the end of a scene, like they were like the button.
Right. The meat of the scene was written. And... we're getting to the point. This is one of the reasons I love season two so much, that the writers are really getting into a groove and writing to everybody's talents. And he explained that he had different things that he would plan and he would surprise the crew and cast and crew and just throw it out there and do it. And usually it was the button of a scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but before we get to school, I just thought it was funny, this this idea of Archie taking
the contractor
taking them to school. I had to look this guy up, Bruno Amato. He's been in everything. TV show yep. on the planet.
He's a utility working guy. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart.
You know him.
I met him through, there's a DJ in town. Her name is Lisa Fox. I think she's on Star 98.7.
Okay.
She used to be Ryan Seacrest's afternoon DJ partner before Ryan Seacrest became Ryan Seacrest. Ah. And Lisa was dating Bruno.
Oh,
so
no
I
way.
Knew Lisa a little bit. And she's like, meet Bruno.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's such a great type.
Yeah.
He's such a great type.
I mean, he's never stopped working.
Good
he's,
for him.
Like, he's that guy. Something he shows like 30 up, years.
He's grateful.
Or yeah.
he's,
That's
yeah.
awesome.
He looked, yeah.
And he gives the boys a ride to school. When they arrive at school,
Walnut Tree by Keane is playing. Mm-hmm. And of course, they instantly see
Summer and Marissa. Yep.
And it's not a hey, it's a, they each say, oh my God, oh my, oh my God. Right. And they all have different reactions.
Yeah, they do. I was actually really surprised that Marissa was so happy to see Ryan, like nothing. Like, oh my God. Like, but I didn't understand that. I don't know if it was written or if it was like an acting choice or what. I guess it was written, but it seemed odd to me.
Right. It didn't fit.
It didn't fit everything that was going on.
Right.
Like Summer, sure. Like, yeah, she's pissed.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, hell no. But the Marissa thing really threw me. And I was like, okay.
It's very sweet. It's almost like, so it's, the audience is supposed to think, wow, she has accepted that he left for Teresa. And then, but of course she says, what about Teresa? Now, this is a big deal. This woman lost a baby. And Ryan goes, oh, it's a little complicated, and I'll tell you about it later. It's just very, like, all of a sudden, it's, like, not that big of a deal, but...
And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, cool, like, that's in the past, like, let's move forward.
Let's hang out let's after hang school. Out.
Very odd. I don't understand that. Okay, well, more on that
but
later.
Summer has a completely different reaction.
Yeah, she's pissed.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. Jeez.
All right, I have a question.
Yes. Yeah.
When is the scene when you and Marissa are driving home?
It's coming up.
Okay.
Well,
I've got something to say about it.
Okay. Should we skip to it? No. Okay.
Go in order.
Okay, we're going in order because next we have to talk about, you know, we're at Jimmy's boat and Haley, they're together.
This is the best Tate has ever looked on this show.
Oh, he looks so hot, like scruffy. Yeah. Like, it really works
and
for him.
Shirt okay, can unbuttoned.
I thought about this. We have a new costume designer in season two.
Oh.
And season one, he was always either too preppy or just nerdy dad or just, you know, because Tate is a super athlete, does like Ironman and all that. But for some reason in these episodes, when he's living the Margaritaville lifestyle, it's just hot and sexy.
Yeah. Yachty. He's yachty.
He's yachty.
Yeah, very yacht club.
He's listening to yacht rock. And
yeah,
love right. it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get Tate. Love him. Okay, yeah, Haley has the job offer. She hasn't told him yet.
Okay.
Which we kind of see where that's going. Okay, we're back at school and Seth is wanting to start a comic book club.
Which is because well, I guess he's already planned this, but Summer has rejected him instantly. Like, uh-uh. Yeah. And, but he's like, well, I had a life before Summer and I was part of the club scene. Club scene and Ryan's like, oh, this might have something to do with why you're an outcast. And he's like, no. And I think this is when Spider-Man came out and made like $700 million. And it's true. Like this was kind of the beginning of this. And the show, this popular, gave exposure to the comics. And it wasn't just our show. It was happening all over. And once again, we're mentioning that Alan Heinberg, you know, he wrote Young Avengers and Wonder Woman. And Josh was not into comic books. So Alan was the, you know, the expert behind this storyline.
Right.
Adam himself was into comic books, though.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, in real life. He really wanted to play Spider-Man, and he missed that.
But he says, but, you know, Seth says something and...
But he does have that great episode where he gets to hang upside down.
He essentially does play Spider-Man. You are right, Patrick.
One of my favorites.
Well done. Yeah.
But he says some funny things really quick. I just wanted to say, he was like, and you know, he was like, come on, Ryan, you got to pass this out. And he hands a flyer to somebody, and he was like, "And we're going to be talking about capes, gay or no?" He says, "Fae," and I'm like, "Fae or not?" And I'm like, "That really dates the show,
right?
Doesn't it?" He always makes these jokes.
Does it?
It does a little bit, but it's kind of like watching Will and Grace reruns now. I mean, they say stuff that we can't say anymore.
Oh, right.
Which is, I think we should be allowed to say. It's funny stuff.
And yeah.
It's how people really talk.
Right.
But, you know, I don't remember if it was Hainberg or Schwartz that coined, see, I'm going to get in trouble.
No.
The phrase minty.
Right.
Oh,
do you
right.
remember
so Seth yeah, says
Brody
that a lot.
Minty was a good one.
Yeah.
The Pirates.
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country. And even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at intohistory.com.
The Pirates at Harbor School is the mascot, and he calls it Minty.
Yeah, Minty was a great word.
Okay, yeah.
And also when Jimmy says, "How are you?" to him, that was funny.
That was funny.
I wonder
funny.
If he threw that one in.
Okay, so then the scene, Summer and Marissa. Was this like at lunch? I don't know. Summer's driving Marissa back to her house, right?
Question.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
The longest driveway in history.
Okay. So can I tell you something? I wrote this down because I was there that day. And because they have this driveway, you guys, it's not that long.
Of course
so
it can't
they literally
be.
Had to do the scene in little bits. Like they can drive and say this amount of dialogue and then back up and drive and say this amount of dialogue. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was watching the scene and I thought, they're in a driveway. Whose driveway is this? It's not the driveway from the pilot.
No, it's Brian Bosworth's house, Julia and Caleb's new big, huge mansion that's out there in Malibu.
Okay.
And it was definitely, you know, maybe a tenth of it would take a tenth of the time to drive up that.
Right.
But I remember for some reason, it just sticks in my mind being there and Michael Lang telling us like, okay, this is how we have to do this because the scene was written too long.
It was.
That actually sounds right.
Yes.
I remember that.
So it's like back and forth. Yeah, like,
right. Oh, and we're talking about, I'm questioning if her and Ryan are back together. And then DJ's truck, the yard guy DJ.
Yes.
His truck is parked there. She's honking at him. I'm like, don't honk at the yard guy. He's hot. Like, no honking at hot guys. Just for the record.
Written down.
Yeah, don't.
Also, he can park his truck in my driveway anytime.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Well, she's not wrong.
But it's interesting. Like, I just, for some reason, I'm like, I don't track Marissa, but I can only chalk it up to just being a crazy teenager because she's, hi, Ryan. She's very sweet and kind. And then she's just honking at DJ. And it's like she's, now we find out that they're dating, but she's overdoing her reaction to this guy. Although I do want to say conversation that you're having with Marissa saying, you know, oh, what, you want to get back to school because of Ryan? And Summer's like, why do you want to go back there? You're like, you're in a different place than she is. And she's like, I don't know. I want to see.
Uh-huh.
And Summer's like, uh-uh. And then she gets distracted by DJ. But I thought that was an interesting, Summer's in a completely different place than Marissa.
She's in the right place.
She's in the right place.
Well, and you're not drinking in the mornings like Marissa.
That is a fair point.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a fair point.
Anyway.
Also, so there's a thing with DJ in the driveway, and then we cut to DJ walks into her bedroom with a shirt on.
Creepy.
It's creepy.
Not kind of on.
Well, open, but at least, like, did he run to Rip Curl in between and pick up this shirt?
Where he was just thought, shirt? I'm going in the house. I better put a shirt on to show his respect.
But okay. He like creepily like walks into her room, which
your
is like
shouldn't be in the house.
Is this going to turn into like Scary Movie?
And the bedroom. Yes.
What is happening
right
here?
Right. I think we were missing some stuff or something got cut because it felt like jumpy with those two.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, yeah. Well, all of a sudden he's in there and they're making out.
Right.
Right.
Like, okay, well, we see what's happening here. But then we cut to the school lounge where Marissa's drinking coffee. Or is it?
Spiked coffee. I wrote, what the hell, Marissa? And then I was like, I don't remember kids drinking ever at school. Like, they'd smoke pot. I don't remember kids.
Maybe I definitely, like, did the pot thing.
Yeah. I got stoned once and went to drama class.
You did?
Yeah. And yeah. Anyway.
Well, that sounds fun. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I didn't drink in high school, which is weird.
Yeah.
But
it was a kegger on the weekends.
It was a lot of school. Like the girls who went to Catholic school, because I went to the all boys Catholic school.
Yeah.
There was a lot of vanilla extract in orange juice.
Vanilla
there's a
extract.
Lot of alcohol in vanilla extract.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's in it to stabilize it. Yeah.
Huh.
But you can get a buzz off it and it doesn't smell. You smell like vanilla.
Oh, wow.
Well, just for you just tipped any future all the high schoolers listening.
Any high schoolers who need a tip.
And there you go.
Vanilla extract in the orange juice.
Interesting. Vanilla extract. Okay.
But then we cut to Caleb, who's sipping scotch. It's a drinking day, peeps.
It's an episode of
Bewitched. Wait. Hold on.
Oh.
Where are we?
I believe in that scene when Marissa's drinking is when I say my favorite line.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Isn't that the scene where I say...
Oh, yeah, because
suddenly,
she says,
hot yard guy in the yard, and he was hot.
Yes.
I feel like I say that in that.
You
that
do,
down?
Verbatim.
I do. And I remember,
you remember that
line,
word.
And I remember it was like one of the favorite things
there
I've
was
ever
a hot,
said.
Hot yard guy in the yard who was
hot.
Hot.
Hello? I mean, come on.
Come on.
That's a great, that is probably
Shakespeare.
One of the best quotes. I mean, I can't pick a favorite here, but.
You had a good one last week, too.
I did.
That's in
what
my
was
last
it?
Week notes.
Do you know what it is?
Should I?
Yeah,
you can pull out notes from
let's talk you more about me.
And once again, this season really, really writes for Summer and Seth and Julie. It's one of my
Julie.
So there's definitely
even though you only had one scene in this episode, and I want more.
Right,
always
that's true.
More, Julie.
Sometimes I only had one scene.
Yeah,
rocking
we'll talk about that.
Yes, we will. Okay, so Caleb's drinking. Then we're at the comic book meeting, which
is just hysterical. I just love Ryan. He's like, if it's just the two of us, can we do this at home? And he's like, no.
Good.
Then we won't get our picture in the yearbook. And what's funny is like, Ryan is so patient and kind. And he's like, I'm not used to this, Seth. When Seth doesn't have Summer as a project, he's got to have another project.
Yeah.
But then lo and behold, we have the introduction of Michael Cassidy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here he comes.
Preppy boy.
It's really cute, this whole exchange. You know, he wants to join and Seth instantly like quizzes him like, what do you know about comic books? And he nails every single question.
Yep.
Right. And there's a lot of double meaning with the Superman thing as we discussed. So possibly because he was in Smallville because he was.
Right.
And then the other thing he talks about that, the subject is going to be, you know, when the Hulk becomes the Hulk in the pants. And I thought, isn't that just the same question? You know, that seems kind of, like beginner comic book stuff. But so I looked it up. It has been a topic of discussion since the inception of the Hulk. It's
why he always
deal.
Wears pants?
How they don't rip off his body when he becomes the Hulk.
And is there an answer?
It's
because you can't see his junk.
It's all arguable. And they've had different things. There's different things.
Because you can't see his thing.
I don't know.
No? Wouldn't that be the obvious? You can't take his pants off.
I don't get that whole
so
genre.
Who wants to see a Hulk penis?
It's not real. I don't think the Hulk is real.
Off the rails.
But Hochberg would, of course, know of that history of
right.
I'm going to ask him when we talk to him.
Yeah.
If he has the answer. But anyway, so Seth loves Zach at the end
correct.
Of this meeting, right? And then we cut to outside. Lo and behold.
Oh,
Zach goes to meet.
All of a sudden, this love affair with Zach is now.
Yep. Sure.
The wasp version
of me.
Wasp version.
Seth says the wasp version of me. Oh, Seth. Well, you fucked up, didn't you, Seth? All right. So that happened.
And Michael Cassidy stepping into his first scene with those two and that scene holds his own.
He's fantastic. Yeah, like, truly.
You had a good time working with him.
And you like him instantly.
Yes, he's very likable.
Very likable. I loved working with him, by the way. He was so awesome.
Being a guest star is always daunting. Showing up to be the guest at a party. Right. And everybody's
established
already.
Established show. Yeah. And uh-huh. Yeah,
it's
for sure.
And especially because of how much attention the show got in its first season as mm-hmm. it built week to week. So coming into the second season to an established group on a show that's very talked about mm-hmm. for young actors.
Right.
Yeah. But he was solid.
Yeah. Yeah. Confident
for
guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
So this next scene, for some reason, it really sticks out in my mind, specifically the music, The End's Not Near by The New Year. Mm-hmm. It had this really eerie quality. And they're walking around. It's Marissa and Ryan talking about, like, this is your new home. And are you dating anyone? She says, nope, not dating. And then he goes in for a kiss. And of course, DJ sees. But then all I thought was, how does Ryan not smell the liquor she's been drinking? Because if she's been drinking all, I don't know. I was like, how does he not smell it?
Yeah.
Because he's drinking vanilla.
But again, the art guy's kind of creeping.
Oh,
Nick is kind of creeping.
Yeah, beyond. I'm telling
he's
you,
there a
as
lot.
He creeps into her bedroom, now he's on the balcony creeping. Like, is he a serial killer? Like, what's
I'm
happening?
I'm concerned
here?
For Marissa's well being.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. Okay. So, So Julie and Caleb, we're still at their house now, let's just say. And Sandy helps a very drunk Caleb home.
I got to hand it to Alan. He did a great drunk.
Allendale, yes.
Allendale.
But my favorite, Mindy, is, you know, he's drunk and your line, did he have a stroke?
Just stroke? And she says it with such disgust.
Oh, yeah. Like, yep.
Because it's in the morning. She's like, you got him drunk. So, yeah. Okay. So this Dior suit. So I remember reading the script and it says Julie standing at the top of the stairs in a bikini. And it's always hard to read that. And I'm just like, this is when I read the script and I went, I'm getting a trainer. That was when the first time I was like, I'm actually going to go to a trainer for the first time in my life. Like, I mean, I did Pilates and I did, you know, but I started working out really hard for that. But I didn't.
For
I felt,
8 days?
Exactly. Yeah.
I still have that suit.
You and if do? You, it,
I do.
I don't understand how you have all of these clothes from the show.
Because I don't know. I don't throw stuff out.
You're
I guess
smart.
I'm a hoarder. But no, I have that. But I wasn't brave enough to just wear the bikini first, so I had a cover up. But
it was good.
Yeah, you looked great.
It was really good. And you looked great. And don't forget, if Caleb's going down, so is Kirsten. So you better come up with something dry as a tumbleweed.
Oh yeah,
you delivered that line.
You were like, "Listen, honey."
Yeah, this is how it's gonna go. Fucking nailed it.
You did.
Yep.
I agree.
And then she kind of with a smile goes, "And now if you'll excuse me,
right?"
Because but it is true. Like it's. It's like Julie is smarter than people give her credit for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's like, son of a bitch, this is happening again. Well, then you know what? Your wife's going to come down. I mean, this is the only way Julie knows how to operate mm-hmm. is to. And she instantly says, you must be loving this. Because what comes out of her mouth is the way she would react. You know, that. And Sandy's like, no, I wouldn't want this. And Julie's kind of in this place of, You must just love that I'm going through this again, you know, and which just shows her, you know, immaturity at this point. But
it's brains. It's brains mm-hmm. and fear. The fear that every single thing you've worked for is going to get taken away.
She's going to lose something.
And you never raise your voice. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't raise your voice to be a threat, which is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. They never play a villain as a villain.
Right.
Although she wants to. Yeah.
The villain you love. But I never saw Julie as a villain. I saw Mm-mm. Julie as a survivor. My kind of gal.
And
I like that take.
I agree. And I see her more as a villain now watching the show, not when I was playing it at all. You just don't do that.
But do you still feel like we're rooting for her? Because I was always rooting for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I thought she was so fun.
I feel like it goes back and forth. There's some things that she kind of does, and you're like, wait a minute, you know.
But we know that she's acting out. She's scared. Like, right. This is it's like, fear. Really, I'm going to lose this. You better fix it. Which is really, really goes, takes us into the next scene because Julie, she's right. Like, mm-hmm. Sandy doesn't know how to fix this because he basically is saying that they have large sums of money. He said, of all the things that I've done, this is something I'm not even guilty of. Mm-hmm. And he says, so then help me fix it. And he's hiding this big secret. And Sandy, he's feeling helpless because as they come into the kitchen and Kirsten's talking to Ryan, and then angry Sandy that we've never seen before is screaming at Archie for screwing up the beams. And Ryan's trying to say, hey, well, if you did it this way. And so, you know, he probably is right. And Archie ups and quits. And then Sandy's like, I am sick and tired of doing everything for this family and getting nothing in return and storming out. And I love Kirsten's look. She's like, huh, something's going on with my man.
Right.
She's got this look like.
But this, and also then we learn Ryan has a thing for architecture.
Right.
Right.
That's a big moment.
Yeah.
Miss Fisher is asking him to like figure out what he likes.
Right. And then he looks at the plan and he figures this all out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I like Ryan as an architect.
Yeah.
I do too. I also like, because she's easy to miss. Kelly Rowan's good on the show.
She's awesome.
Really good on the show.
Really good.
Really simple. Doesn't make it about her. It's not half the time it's between, you know, Gallagher and and Brody.
Yeah.
And just kind of playing off them. But she's.
Oh, the finale of the first season, though, when she breaks down after Ryan leaves.
She's
like,
really good.
Oh my God.
She's really good.
Yeah. Josh said when they saw that in the editing, the first edit or in dailies, he said that this room was just silent. Like, wow.
Yeah.
She was good.
But that takes us to the next scene in the Cohen bedroom when Kirsten comes in and she says, you know, I just want to apologize for the summer I made your life miserable. Because she probably wasn't that nice to her husband. And of course, Sandy instantly says, I'll apologize.
Right.
And because that's Sandy.
Yeah.
Right.
He recovers quickly. They both recover very quickly, which shows a very emotional intelligence health from this couple. And, she goes, oh God, thank God, because you were scary. And he was like, he's so cute. He goes, I was scary. She's like, yeah, I don't know. There's just, I mean, I don't think that there's any couple parental unit in television history that I like more than them for some reason.
I love them too.
But of course it's not. Julie just threatened him. Here's the thing that I was going to say. When did Kirsten find out that her dad's in trouble? Does she know that yet? Or is he keeping it from her at this point?
Doesn't Sandy tell her in this episode?
Because he gets arrested.
Before that, doesn't he mention
it? But I'm trying to figure out when that was.
Nope.
So anyway, so Sandy's not telling her. It's really, he's choosing not to tell her. It's really scary. Your dad might be in jail. We don't know what's going on. And you could be going down. He's keeping it to himself. And he realizes that that's why he's, you know. But Julie, Julie got him angry.
Yeah. What was that one too?
Okay, Haley tells Jimmy she's taking a job. She's leaving. That's them breaking up, basically. To sum
and
it
is
up.
Is that the end of Amanda Rigetti?
I believe so, isn't it?
Yeah, she's... it's so interesting, this scene that she's so... It's so satisfying to see Haley mature and making decisions. And she's, you know, he's saying, so you're asking me to go to Japan? And she's like, no, actually... And he says, well, marry me and I'll fund you. And basically she's basically breaking up with him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I want kids and it's not with you, which is such a mature thing. How many people actually say, okay, I'm in love with you too. And I'll just become the step parent to your kids.
Right.
And she's like, no, I want my own.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty evolved kind of.
And I love when a woman says no to his money. Like,
right.
She's like, nope.
I'm going to do my own thing.
She didn't want those kids.
Nope. Who would? Just kidding.
You barely wanted those kids.
Yeah. You were like, this one's going to boarding school. Right. This one, throwing lawn furniture.
Or furniture and screaming.
Okay. So I loved this scene with Summer and Ryan. When Ryan comes to Summer's room and she's meditating.
It's classic because it's so awkward.
I just love whenever
cute.
I see a scene with Summer and Ryan.
I don't think this one, this is like the first time.
Is it just the first time it's the two of us?
Yeah, you guys end up having quite a few in season four. Uh-huh. But this one.
I loved working with Ben. Like, yeah. We always had so much fun, and he's such a good actor.
You guys would giggle a lot and break up.
Have you seen your bedroom that much before? Because I felt, okay. Because I was like looking on the wall, and it looks like a Stephanie Savage vision board back there behind you.
That's funny. Well, you know what I noticed was all the board games in the cabinet behind Ben, they're like taped off because you couldn't like
show
branding,
the name.
Show the name. So life is if. I noticed that. But but I loved the scene with them and Ryan's really trying to convince Summer.
Well, first he says, I'm sorry. And he left and she, and
he's trying like, to
first
take
of all,
sit
down, left. Yeah,
sit
yeah,
down,
yeah.
Which
sit
is
down,
really cute
here,
and
yeah.
awkward.
A little
and,
meditation pillow.
But she's saying, you know,
but she tells him that Zach isn't her boyfriend, which is key because now
he's like, oh,
that information will get, you know.
Right, right. And you know, and Ryan says, because of me, he left. And he's like, no, he would have done it anyway, which is, once again, the more, you know, Summer's in a place of like way beyond her years because what people are responsible for their own actions sure. that we learn. Some of us don't learn it until we're 50.
Right.
But
right.
But when Ryan says, here we are with the title of the show, we could just go back to the way we were. Mm-hmm. And Summer says, the way we were wasn't that great. There's Oliver, there's Julie, there's all kinds of stuff that right. wasn't so great. And mm-hmm. I'm moving on. Everyone's moved on and it's right. for the best. She's the therapist of the group.
Right. Yes. So we're back at Julie and Caleb's house. DJ wants to know who Ryan is because he saw her kissing him. Marissa, she does really turn on the tears here.
I thought it was, she gets really, really emotional. Like, oh my gosh. And it's like, is it because she likes DJ? And he says, I know how you talk about me to your right. friends. I'm the yard guy.
She's caught.
But he's hot. He's the yard guy in the yard who's hot.
But she admits that, right? So she doesn't. Is it because she really likes him?
I think she does like him.
I think she
That's
really does. I think
it.
There's a connection.
But, you know, just as she's tearing up and kissing him, what happens?
Ryan
shows up. Because Summer was like, you should go apologize to Marissa, right?
No, she says, Summer
oh,
says,
no, she, you, says
she moved on. And he
oh,
says,
right,
what?
That's what
well, you should talk to her.
Yes.
It's also very important for Marissa in that scene to say, I'm not that girl, when DJ's saying she is that girl.
Right.
She keeps saying, I'm
a
not
snob.
That. And I think that, right.
Yeah.
I think she's trying
she's like,
to.
I'm not that girl.
But why? But, you know, Misha's tall. And I noticed that it's hard.
Yes,
all
she
these
is.
Guys
she's very
are
tall.
Little,
yeah. I noticed particularly in this scene with DJ and her.
Yeah. I was thinking about it when I saw Michael Cassidy, and I'm like, why
he
couldn't
tall.
We just find somebody tall like that for Misha?
Yeah.
Like, Michael Cassidy should have been the yard guy, and Nicholas should have been Jack.
Sure. Because you're still clearly obsessed with yard guy.
Who is hot?
This is also where I thought, you know, there's something in having this opposite or something in this guy that's attractive to Marissa, which is the wrong guy for her again.
Right.
Like, it's even worse. Supposedly she's like, this guy is even worse than Ryan was. Like, for Julie, she'd rather her be with Ryan,
right.
not this guy.
The
and,
right.
Right. The help, I
right.
guess.
The help.
And, but there's something in him that I think I get the feeling when he's like, don't cry. There's something very emotional. She's got a connection to him.
Yeah. He was very sweet to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ryan sees them making out and yeah.
Takes off, I guess, and then the next morning, chatting with Seth.
Summer says she wants to be friends. This is Ryan relaying information to Seth. Seth thinks by the end of the kickoff carnival, the four will be back to exactly the way we were.
Yeah, right.
The way we were.
My note was, and he's back, the relentless Seth Cohen.
Why is he relentless?
He's like, it worked before, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I always think, how much does it cost to rent a carnival like that? Because it happens in a lot of shows.
Where they
like,
do God, carnivals. Where did,
how
I
do
want
you
a
just
carnival.
Get, yeah. I want a carnival.
I think you can, you know, if you have, it's like.
I read something, a couple that got married at a Taco Bell and it was $4,000. That's not related, okay. But
totally
somehow
random,
seems relevant.
Fun fact of the day. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone who wants to get married at a Taco Bell, listen.
Well, And we've talked about the architect situation, but I think this is important for the audience because all of this time we've just been seeing him trying to fit in, deal with Marissa, save his brother, or you know, going back to Chino, taking care. We've never seen any of Ryan's interests, so now this gives a nice another layer to him.
Agreed.
And I kind of got, I wrote, "Aw, what a warm, fuzzy feeling," just to see that he's going to be.
Somebody also hears him and sees him for something except being the Chino bad boy.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So then we're going to be at the kickoff carnival once again. Last kickoff carnival, lots happened. Ryan and Marissa kiss, like it was a whole thing. So now this year, everyone's apart. Trouble Sleeping plays again by the Perishers, and they enter the kickoff carnival. So
you know what? I have a memory, and I don't know if this is correct. When you were just talking about a carnival, how much it costs? The first one, I think that was Patrick Norris's episode. Yeah. We talked about
that.
We were
on location for that.
And that was a bigger carnival. For some reason, I believe that they just, you know, rented some carnival equipment and did it at the Manhattan Beach Studio parking lot.
Well, so you say that, and
is that possible?
I feel like I have a memory of being in our parking lot at the studios when I'm like yelling at Seth outside of the car. So I think you're probably right.
It was kind of
there's some kind of memory I have in here somewhere, like, you know,
it was like a skeleton carnival. Just so they would shoot it just right, so it made it look like. And first of all, have you ever had a fried Snickers? I've never had one.
No, but I've always heard of them. And a fried Twinkie. Did I try the fried Twinkie?
Fried butter, I had once.
That sounds disgusting.
I've not had that.
It's not good at all. It's melted. It's
fried butter?
Yeah, that's in Canada. They do a lot of that.
Wow.
Okay, so I love this. So Ryan goes up to Marissa and kind of confronts her because he sees her kissing DJ. Mm-hmm. I actually loved how Ryan was with her because he was like, what does he say? He's like, we were never just friends.
First of all, she says, I was going to tell you. And his delivery was, no, you weren't.
He's hurt his ego.
But then again, Marissa's right. You left. What was I supposed to do? Like, there's
But she did lie to him.
She did.
And he thought they were like getting back together. And then he sees her like making out with this dude.
Did she lie or did she just omit a few facts?
I don't know. It's funny. Like, I've gone back and forth. Okay. I see both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. I just liked his delivery.
She was playing.
I do too.
Because I like seeing Ryan like this. I liked the delivery with this and the scene between them.
He was, I mean, when you think about everything that he had to do and Marissa had to, and she did a lot of, I know why you have to do this and you have to go back and be with Teresa. And I thought she's been pretty good throughout this whole thing. And he doesn't give, so she makes a mistake and he's like, sorry, I'm not going to, no, you lied. You weren't going to tell me you lied. And that for him was like the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. And she comes back with she doesn't say, yeah, you're right. I'm so sorry. She's like, what the hell was I supposed to do? All that anger that she's been feeling for months comes out. And because usually, I think she usually acquiesces and says, okay, yeah, we could be friends. And now she's like, no. And it's the same thing that's going on with Summer and Seth, the whole friend thing. Can't be friends.
Right.
Which is true.
We were never friends.
Yeah. Well, so that takes us to Zach and Summer are at the carnival now. Summer does a double take as she sees Seth trying to get on a hot dog stand to declare his love.
Can we stop at the double take?
Yeah.
Before we even get to the hot dogs. It's a classic, rewatchable, multiple times double take. It's literally like a cartoon.
Well, thank you. Bleh. I know. It's like, oh, Jesus, what now?
I love the physical comedy
that
Adam brings.
I was laughing, yeah.
Are you humping the hot dog cart?
I mean.
Come on. It's a classic.
It is a funny exchange with them.
Plus, I wore a cashmere sweater today because I just thought you looked. That was such a beautiful sweater, that Argyle sweater.
Well, thank you, Melinda.
Yeah, it was very.
Misha looked good in the light blue eyes out at the Lacoste shirt at the beginning. Too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It was very simple. And I liked your sweater, rainbow thing.
Yeah, it was cute. Right. Very cute.
Anyway, that was we got sidetracked with fashion. But
hot dog stand. He wants to declare his love again, and she's like, "What the hell are you doing?" So she gets upset, and
Zach. He stands up and he's like, and Summer Roberts, she's like, don't. I love you. And Zach's what?
Yeah, he's like, huh?
And he's like, what?
It's like a Scooby-Doo moment.
Zoinks, Scoobs, Ruppy Row. But then he says, well, I like comics. And she's like, you do? Like, Summer doesn't even know everything about Zach.
Oh, no, not anything at all.
Yeah.
But so she gets upset. So Zach's like, yeah, we're leaving. And he takes her. So they're leaving. And what does Seth do?
He jumps in front of the car.
As one does.
But your reaction to him jumping in front of the car was a little concerning. It's like you ran out of the car like he was under the wheel.
Yeah. Was that overacting?
No. It's just the way the scene was written was that like he just was like, stop the car.
Well, I think it was
you were acting like
as if we ran him
he
over.
Was in the grill.
Well, he was roadkill to me as far as I was concerned.
Well, I would blame that on the directing, Michael Lang. Just kidding. No, that I think that he looked super far away from the car and he should have looked a little closer. Right. Possibly a little bit more.
But she gets out concerned and then she just wails on him.
Wails.
She's like, are you okay?
Right.
Yes. And bang. Yeah, she's kind of violent.
Yeah, she rage blackouts.
Right. But what an amazing speech.
Yes.
God.
It was.
Do you remember?
Really,
I do, actually. I do remember that. I remember filming it. I remember all of it. Because, you know, Summer hasn't had many like emotional moments, so to speak.
And you were crying. I saw some tears.
Ocean air.
But she makes so much sense. And this is where he's just so relentless and he keeps going and banging and banging. And finally she's like, dude, you had me.
Right.
Right.
Which he did after like your whole life. You had me and you left.
You had me in Wonder Woman. You had me 3 months ago. And these are the consequences, buddy.
Yes. I 100% back Summer on all of this.
Totally.
I 100% back how many women in this episode stood their ground and spoke their mind.
I think I agree. And yeah. I think
they're like, we've had enough.
Yeah.
Whether it was Julie saying, fix this.
Right.
Or you being like, you had me and you fucked
it. Yeah. And Marissa's like, you left. What was I supposed to do?
Right. Haley, like, no, Haley? I don't want your money.
Right.
Yes. I don't want your kids.
Excellent point.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like a woman power show.
And the end of this show, Caleb gets arrested.
Over Mushu.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. Yes. And Kirsten says, see, that's the thing. I was like, when did Kirsten know? I couldn't figure out when she got told. So I guess.
I think Sandy mentioned something in the kitchen. Did I imagine that? Like your dad might be in some trouble.
Oh, you know what it was? When he says it wasn't about you, and oh, that's what it was. It was set off screen because she says, I've never seen you like that unless it was about my dad. Oh, shoot. What'd he do now?
Right.
And then we cut. There we go. I answered my question. There we go.
All's well that ends well.
How about some rapid fire questions?
Are we doing rapid fire? Okay. Ready, Patrick?
Okay.
Don't look at our answers.
Okay.
Favorite outfit of the episode?
Julie's bikini.
Duh.
Previously discussed.
Favorite quote?
You're humping the hot dog stand.
I like that.
Oh, favorite character?
See, it's very Sophie's Choice.
In this episode?
Yeah. And a lot.
You want shirtless yard guy.
Bilson, that is you. That is you.
No. I didn't even write that for my answer. Least favorite character.
Okay, I'm old school. I have to go Julie Cooper, even though she was just one scene, because she really is a drag queen. That's why.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an owner.
For sure.
That Julie Cooper's
that's your
a drag
favorite.
Queen.
Do you have a least favorite? You can say it.
No, I love them all.
Patrick.
Least favorite character, not actor.
Right. Yeah, just
character. I never knew who was misbehaved and not. And when I used to come around, you guys were still all nice in the first season.
We were always nice.
I don't
know
that.
In the first season.
Well, I was.
And I wasn't on the third season, so.
Well, that season sucks, clearly.
The cop who shows up and arrests Caleb at the end.
Yeah, oh, right.
Brother.
Right.
Okay, fair.
Okay.
Okay. To each other now?
Favorite outfit?
Well, I actually liked the Dior bikini. But I liked Marissa's jacket at the carnival. What about you?
I said DJ shirtless.
Yeah. The outfit, the The no outfit.
The no outfit outfit.
Okay.
Isn't that everyone's favorite?
The favorite song, I like The End's Not Here, or it's The End's Not Near by The New Year.
I did trouble sleeping because I had that story.
Yeah, right, right. Favorite quote I wrote.
What was yours?
You had me at Chrismica in a freaking Wonder Woman costume and you chose Anna.
Fuck that, man.
Yeah.
Mine was he's a hot yard guy in the yard. He's hot.
He's hot. And my favorite character, I really liked Zach in this episode.
I loved Zach too. And I wrote Ryan though, because I loved how Ryan played that scene at the carnival and in general.
And on the count of three, no, together, who's our least favorite character?
Who did we say? Oh, Seth.
Seth!
Yeah, fuck yes. Seth was the least favorite character. What the fuck do you think he's doing?
You know what? You're right. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Seth, moron.
And then do we like Julie? I love to hate her.
I loved her. Like, did he have a stroke?
No, it's all Julie love all the time. I'm sorry.
All the time.
And then the time. Do we love Summer?
Yes.
I wrote love her and you wrote meh.
No, you should have been Summer's mother.
Imagine that.
Well, I do become that in season four.
Yes.
Kind of. Actually, somebody made a comment about Olivia Wilde and I had like similar eyes, but hers are really piercing. Mm-hmm.
But they're cat eyes. That's what it is. You guys have Cleopatra cat eyes, right?
This was so much fun.
This really was.
Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back. Sure. Anytime, please join us.
Now that I know where you work.
You know where we work.
I'm going to be like DJ. And you're just stalk you.
You're going to show up shirtless.
I promise I will never do that.
I feel like that's our like prerequisite for coming in as a guest. Patrick, thank you. And thank everyone so much for listening. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like to watch us, I know you do. Check it out on YouTube or on HBO Max.
We're on HBO Max.
Yes.
Bye, bitches.
Bye.
Close your eyes. It's time to discover what starting and growing your own business feels like. Whether your business is bedsheets or skincare, Shopify's with you every step of the way. Now, open your eyes. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. Shopify.com/podcast22.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I'm a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Rabia.
But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you'll like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of. Obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Kalief Browder.
Elisa Lamb, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No, we're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.